biblical worldview question of the week, Kelly.
And Nancy, boy, first of all, welcome. Good to have you back on as always. But wow, what a question. And I think I hear this. We were just talking about this maybe an hour ago with Colin Smith. That was like five minutes ago. Well, no, right at the beginning.
An hour ago.
It was right at the beginning. Do you see how I have to just, do you see what I'm dealing with here, Nancy? Why does God allow suffering? I'm suffering right now.
Absolutely. Steve.
What you're hearing, Steve will never hear. Steve. Anyway, no, I hear that a lot. If God is good, then why does he, and fill in the blank, but it always involves suffering. Why does God allow suffering, Nancy?
Yes, and you know what? First of all, Colin is a phenomenal human being, and to break down just what we need to do to drip feed the Bible into our system, I love that. And wow, he is an inspiring guy, I'll tell you. I'm so glad you had him on. But I think last week we were talking about being bold, and I think what chills our blood is for somebody to ask this question. You know, you call yourself a Christian. Well, I just want to ask you one thing then. Why does God allow suffering? And for a lot of Christians, they just like, whoops, well, I don't know. He just does. I think I'm excited about today because we can break that down to the point where people can at least begin to have dialogue with people that have this question, and this question is keeping them from believing. And, you know, it's this question, the idea of suffering, constitutes the single greatest challenge to the Christian faith for the believer and for the skeptic. So it really goes both ways. But Scripture teaches us that God is all-powerful, all-loving, full of grace. Yes, it does. Then we ask, why then, if this is true, does God allow so much pain and suffering in the world? And not only in a corporate sense, but I think most of us are saying, I'm suffering. Why does bad stuff happen to me? And I think to answer this biblically, we go right to Genesis, you know, in the garden when Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the garden. They knew him. They had a relationship with him. He was their life, but they chose to disobey God and go their own way, just as we do. And as a result, human beings became sinners both by nature and by choice, meaning we are now all born with a sin nature, and we continue to sin by our own choice. And as a result, suffering became an ongoing consequence of life on this earth. Yet Scripture makes it very, very clear that we started this as human beings, and so we can't always blame God. But suffering itself is misery from affliction, feelings, or mental or physical pain, or a state of prolonged anguish and deprivation. And I think we all have been there. But the question still remains, why would a loving God allow such sorrow? And I want to just look at a few key influencers in the Christian world here. C.S. Lewis, The Problem of Pain, says, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world, to wake up a dead world. Mm. And Johnny Erickson Tada says this, and I think it's just considering her life. She says, God permits what he hates to achieve what he loves. And I think we have to look at suffering in its proper perspective. According to Hugh Sylvester, the author of Arguing with God, which I love that book, human beings are responsible for up to 90% of all pain and suffering that we experience. God, in his goodness and grace, uses that suffering to draw us to himself. So putting it in proper perspective is just critical for us to understand and be able to process this troubling question.
Well, that statement alone is so true, that we are responsible for a lot of our suffering. You know, there's two sides of it. We have our suffering, we have our sin, and sometimes the consequence of our own sin creates that. And it's up to us for us to release that and get out of that pain. But how are we then, as Christians, how do we do that? How are we to deal with our suffering?
Yes, and just to have a starting point here, I think most of us would say we don't deal well at all when our world falls apart. We just kind of unravel. And that can happen by broken friendship, loss of job, a horrific medical diagnosis, or terrible choices that we bring on ourselves are at the heart of most of our suffering. And I think, obviously, none of us choose to suffer, but we can determine the way we deal with it. And this is at the heart of the issue. If we are guilty of doing something sinful, we can either repent and turn back to God, or we can blame God for the consequences and turn away from him. And I think that's the pivot point right there. If we make bad choices, let's take a better look and step back and say, you know, what's my part in this, and confess to God and turn. And the same is true for natural disasters and illnesses. We can either respond to suffering by being angry with God, or we can draw nearer to God and have his peace and his joy with us, in us, as we work through the hardest of times. And suffering is one of God's greatest tools. And I'm right with C.S. Lewis. I love the way he has talked about this in his books. It is one of his greatest tools to grow us in our faith and to share with others through our pain and suffering God's love and God's faithfulness as we walk step by step through whatever it is that we're going through. And I love John 9:1-3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." So it's a different way to look at suffering, to bring God glory, no matter if it's from my own personal sin that brought on these consequences, or it's just by living in a broken world. We do have a choice, and God says for suffering, when it comes to suffering, here's an opportunity to bring glory to me through your suffering. It's easy for us to say, "Oh, I love God. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Everything's good," when we're feeling good. But when circumstances go down, how many Christians do you know are up there saying, "God is so faithful"?
Yeah.
And that's where I think this question is taking us.
Well, Nancy, again, I was asked this question, it's been quite a while back, and at that time, I really just did not even know how to answer, because the person who asked it was going through a great deal of prolonged suffering. But how can we understand why God brings almost unbearable suffering to some people, but not so much to others, at least from the way it looks to us?
Yeah.
I know, and that's the thing. Because we try to wrestle with this issue, Kelly, from our human perspective. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me, God. This person is so good. Why is he suffering? What's wrong with you? And again, we don't know. We weren't designed to understand why some people suffer more than others. And on the other side, why some people are blessed more than others. But this is what we need to go back to. What Colin was talking about earlier today is to know and get to know God's character through his word, what he says about himself. and to know for sure that God is faithful to make us stronger and more dependent on him as he walks with us through any circumstance. And the thing is, he never promised that we wouldn't suffer. Quite the contrary. You know, those who go through difficult times can come out on the other side or come out through it, even though there might not be another side. But through that, be stronger, have a more personal and a deeper faith with a God that said, I promise you that there will be problems in this world, but I also promise you I'll be with you. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, I love this. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet inward man is being renewed day by day. That's our soul, that's our heart. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly and the eternal weight of glory. While we do not look for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to look at this suffering from an eternal perspective. This suffering that we feel that we're in the middle of it will absolutely never go away. It's amazing. I remember when my kids were young, and I thought, will he ever stop being two, really, in acting like it? It's these times in our lives that we just think it will go forever. And in a second, we're looking back, and we wish we could be back in those times of early childhood dealing with two-year-olds rather than what we're dealing with now. But it is temporary. And I think when we go through suffering to realize that it is temporary, look at it from a eternal perspective that God is here and a better life is coming. Trust me.
Nancy, we know from your story, the genesis of all that you do through your ministry. So what are some of the lessons that God has taught you through suffering?
Yes, and I'm pretty good at the lessons because I've made so many mistakes in this area. One of the things that was most shocking to me, Steve, was that he doesn't need or want my opinion as to how I should carry out God's duty as being God. You know, he doesn't need a coach for that. And for some reason, I feel that he could use a little of my insight, for which he really doesn't need it. Hosea 11:9, for I am God, not man, the Holy One among your midst, and I will not come in wrath. This idea of allowing God to be God, why do we fight against him? It's much easier to jump in the river and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit rather than to fight against it. And I know a lot of you are saying, oh, yeah. Another thing that I learned is to expect suffering. I think that's the biggest thing, because we as Christians, you have a whole new life in Christ. This is great. Eternity. I have a friend with me continually. I'm indwelled with the Holy Spirit. I'm experiencing life. I'm seeing people, even those evil people. I see them as made in the image of God with hope, this and that and the other. But it doesn't mean that life is easy. It doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer, because that is God's tool to draw us to him. So let's get out of the idea that we've always done something wrong. It's the idea that we live in a broken world. The world itself is broken. And I think James 1:2-4 is to begin to develop a worldview that thinks differently. He says, James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In other words, perfect, not in behavior, but complete in Christ. You are lacking nothing. I am lacking nothing, even in the midst of our suffering. The question is, are we choosing to suffer well or suffer in an unhealthy way by being so angry at the people that are causing us to suffer, at God, that we have we have thrown our life into a magnificent, awful tailspin. Mm-hmm. And another thing I think I've learned is through my own suffering that God has made me better, a better person because of it, because I've gone through certain suffering in my life. I can better understand, and if I can better understand through the Holy Spirit, I can be better at comforting others in their pain.
Well,
you
Nancy,
know, and we need that.
Yeah, I want to jump in here because we're going to have to take off here in just a minute and let you go too, so we can check in with Randy Allis for a look at the forecast. But what you just said about comforting, is there anything? Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss this question, because I really want us to look hard at what we're dealing with when we're going through suffering. Is there anything we can understand about the suffering itself that would actually, even though it is suffering, still bring a measure of comfort?
Yes, those of us who believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we know for certain that this is temporary. God wants us to look eternally on this. And I think a wonderful way to close this today is from Revelation 21. Listen, our suffering is temporary, and through it we are called by God to give him the glory. But again, it's momentary. Revelation 21, 3-4, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away." That is our hope. We know it's coming. And I think when we see life from that perspective, you know what? I'm going to bear it through this suffering because I know a whole new world forever and ever awaits us.
Well, Nancy, I always love it when we come to this point. There is a whole new world that awaits us. We are meant for something so much greater. And just that message alone should be what carries us through the suffering. We know that this is not permanent. This is temporal in our existence.